The Hoosiers made things a bit more difficult on themselves on Thursday as they fall to Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. Now they're going to have to go on a bit of a run if they're going to win a conference title.
You are Locked On Hoosiers, your daily podcast on the Indiana Hoosiers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. You are Locked On Hoosiers, the one and only daily IU podcast. We're part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Free and available anywhere you guys listen to podcasts at, including over on YouTube. Big thanks to you for making us your first listen every single day. I'm your host, as always, Jacob. Let's talk some IU baseball. They're in the Big Ten tournament, as we've talked about this week. Played on Thursday against Iowa in a game that felt a little bit inevitable with how it played out throughout the course. IU loses 9-4 in this one, but this is one they let get away. And it was a matchup between the 2 and 3 seeds. IU had beaten Iowa twice in the regular season. The Hoosiers jumped out to the lead early on and led this game for the first 6 innings. A two-run double in the first inning gave them the lead. They were up 3-1 for the first 5 innings, tacked on an insurance run in the 6th inning that, you know how those types of runs are, you would think that would have mattered to move ahead 4-1. 6th inning also marks the point when starting pitcher Luke Senard comes out. He was really good on Thursday. Iowa was able to get guys on, and he kept working out of those jams. When I say things were a little bit inevitable, that's what I mean. Iowa scored 9 runs on Thursday, and they left 12 guys on base. Like, they were getting guys on base. That being said, Senard only allowed 5 hits. He did walk 2. He did hit 2. That's where a lot of those base runners came from. But they weren't scoring. He was leaving them stranded, which it's a little bit of flirting with fire a bit. And he really got away with one in that 6th inning. He up over 100 pitches. There was 2 on, 2 out. A lot of Iowa fans in attendance. They were really getting rowdy, hoping for a bit of a rally. And Senard escaped, and that got him through 6 innings. He ended up throwing 117 pitches. The run he gave up was an unearned run. And the Hoosiers looked to have done enough to get out of trouble. But it never felt comfortable. It never felt like IU was really in control of this game. They had they were the home team, so Senard getting out of trouble came in the top of the inning, and that's when IU added on the insurance run. That's why it felt kind of big in the moment. But Iowa eventually rallied. They rallied in a really big way. 7th inning. They single and then a double, a bases loaded double that cleared them. And it went from IU up 4-1 to IU down 5-4. And then they put the hammer down. They made sure to add the insurance runs with a RBI single in the 9th and then a 3-run homer to blow this one open. And it was done and dusted at that point. They scored 8 runs across the final 3 innings. IU flirted with fire and got caught eventually. They kept letting guys get on, kept letting Iowa get in kind of dangerous positions. Eventually it burned them. The dam kind of burst open with that bases loaded or bases clearing double. And Iowa had all the momentum at that point. IU really had nothing going. The home run was kind of insult to injury. IU was making plays at the plate to even keep this game close. Both the seventh and ninth innings, they had plays at the plate to, at the time, you thought it was to keep the game close. It didn't end up being close because the plate in the ninth came before that three-run homer that it was done at that point. So Indiana falls in this one 9-4. As I said, Sinard was great. He threw six innings, the five hits, the one unearned run, two walks, five strikeouts, and two hits, hit batsmen. He finishes one strikeout shy. I believe it was the single season record for strikeouts for IU. It was either single season or all time. I can't remember exactly. It was only mentioned on the broadcast. He's going to get another chance at it. IU is a tournament team. We haven't really talked about that. I mean, they were the two seed in the Big Ten, so you kind of expect that if you're that high in the Big Ten. He'll get a chance next week to do that, but that they were kind of building up that moment in that sixth inning as he's trying to fight out of a jam, that if it's a strikeout, it's a history-making strikeout as well. That moment didn't come, but the other big takeaway from this is that IU's bullpen is really struggling, and this isn't a new issue. It's been an issue toward the end of the season for kind of a lot of this season that IU is blowing games once the starters leave. It's exasperated right now because Ryan Kraft, who we mentioned earlier in the week, every dayers will remember that name, that he was a reliever that was all Big Ten and is unavailable. He has arm tightness. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a long-term issue, but they made him unavailable for the Big Ten tournament just to play it safe so that he's available for the NCAA tournament, which means he would have been in that seventh inning for that bases clearing double. Instead, he isn't the guy that comes in and IU gives the lead away. So it's a bit of an uphill battle right now, but it felt like self-inflicted wounds, if nothing else, on Thursday. And now IU falls into must-win situations for the rest of the Big Ten tournament. We'll look at the bracket, who IU is going to play, and what their route to a potential title looks like now. We'll do all that here in a moment. First, let's talk about the company, the sponsor that we've been talking a lot about throughout the last couple weeks, and Bird Dogs. You guys have heard me mention them. They are a comfortable, versatile, well-fitting pair of shorts that whatever you want to do, this weekend's a prime example. If you're going swimming, if you're going to the 500, if you're going to a backyard barbecue, whatever it may be, these are the perfect short for you. Even if you're going on a date, going out to the bars with some friends, going to a meeting, going to the golf course, whatever it is, Bird Dogs are the pant or short for you. Plus, they have incredible names. I'm not going to belabor that point. I keep saying it. I really mean it. Go check them out. You can do that if you go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. You enter the promo code lockedoncollege. You'll get a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler. You'll get one of these that they will throw in for free as well with every order. So give them a try today. I promise you guys will not regret it. Thanks to you guys, as always, for making Locked On Hoosiers your first listen every day. Every dayers on Monday show, we'll talk about IU's performance in the Big Ten tournament, whatever happens this upcoming weekend. We're actually not going to have a show on Monday. I'll tell you that. It's Memorial Day. So Tuesday, we'll recap that. And then as well, we will talk about the NCAA tournament and where the Hoosiers are going to be playing, things like that. So be sure to check us out next week and stay tuned in as you guys always do. Let's look at the Big Ten bracket and what the Hoosiers' path to a Big Ten title looks like now. If I bring it up here, I will explain it to you for those not watching on YouTube, but for those watching on YouTube, you get to see the bracket itself. IU's loss to Iowa right here means they drop down to a win-or-go-home game against Michigan. That will be at 2 p.m. today. For those of you that listened early on, you can tune into this game this afternoon. Michigan lost to Iowa in the first game of the Big Ten tournament, 13-3. So two teams familiar with being beaten up a bit by the Hawkeyes in this Big Ten tournament. Michigan bounced back by beating Illinois earlier this week on Wednesday. So IU versus Michigan in a win or go home game. These two teams did not play in the regular season, so there isn't really anything to base it off of what this game's going to look like. Michigan came in as the 6th seed, IU as the 2 seed. So we'll see if IU can bounce back. It's a quick turnaround. It's a 24-hour turnaround, which could be good, could be bad. I assume IU is going to be motivated to bounce back and pick up a win. Assuming if IU loses, obviously it's done. Their Big Ten tournament is over. It's not going to impact whether they make the tournament or not, but that'll be the end of their quest for a Big Ten title. If they win, it's a rematch with Iowa at an obscene, it's 9 a.m. local time. So when I say 2 p.m., that's Central time. It's 3 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern is when the game on Saturday will start if IU wins. That's obscene, but it's because they're going to play four games potentially all on Saturday, depending on if games are needed, things like that. So if IU wins, they'll play Iowa. If they win, they advance to the championship game against whoever. Maryland is the one seed in the bottom of the bracket. They have not lost yet. Nebraska and Michigan State are on the loser's bracket on that bottom half. So that's the 4 and the 8 seed. You would imagine, and there's a pretty good chance that we still have 1, 2, 3, and 4 as we get into the semifinals. So we'll see how that plays out. But the Hoosiers, bit of an uphill battle in this one to win a Big Ten title. It's win or go home time, though. And that creates some fun, exciting baseball because there's nothing kind of like that desperation of knowing that if you lose, it's done. A lot of these guys have goals of winning Big Ten titles. So the Hoosiers, they're down to their last loss for Big Ten play this season. They know they kind of let one get away with the Big Ten regular season. We'll see if that motivates them to not let one get away again in the conference tournament. So that all will start at 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow and then carry out through the weekend into Sunday if they make the championship game. As I said, we'll have all the coverage of that on Tuesday's episode and make sure you guys are all caught up on that. Let's wrap up today's episode with some football talk. We don't do that a whole lot, but FanDuel released the over-unders for football. I thought we could take a look at what the over-under is, whether we think they'll hit the over as we kind of start to maybe slowly transition into some football talk heading into this summer. We'll do all that here in a moment. FanDuel, as I mentioned, released, they are the first, they're the official sportsbook of Locked On. I'm sure you guys know. They released, I believe last week, the over-unders for football win totals. The Hoosiers come in tied for the bottom of the Big Ten at 3.5. Probably not surprising. And if you look at the schedule, it's going to be hard to find 4 wins based on how things look right now. So we have the lovely task of opening the season against Ohio State. Even if it's at home. Interesting fact, actually. Ohio State, I believe, and I was reading an article on Ohio State's web or an Ohio State website. I believe they play 4 games in Indiana and 6 games in Ohio this year. They play in Bloomington, they play in South Bend, They play Purdue. I'm not sure what the, I guess, unless they're assuming they're making the Big Ten title game, which, fair enough. But they're playing three times for certain in Indiana this upcoming season. They'll start off against the Hoosiers. That's a loss, but if you're trying to find wins for this team, most of them are going to come in their next game, next stretch of games. Indiana State should very much be a win. Louisville, that's going to be an interesting one. If you look at SP Plus, which we're going to reference a lot for those of you new and that haven't been with us through a football season, we're going to reference SP Plus a lot. It is a kind of formula algorithm by Bill Connolly at ESPN. I put a lot of value into it. And if you look at Louisville, this doesn't account for the fact that they have a coaching change. IU comes in 71st in SP Plus next season. Louisville is 36th. Now, I would say there probably needs to be a bit of a bump down because of a new coach, but it doesn't really matter how much you bump them down. They're going to come into that game as a pretty heavy favorite. That's going to be in Lucas Oil Stadium, so not even really a home game. It's hard to count that one as a win. So then you move on. They should absolutely beat Akron. Akron is set up to be one of the worst teams in FBS next season. They're 130th out of 133. So you damn well better beat Akron. That'll be at home. After that, they're going to presumably be sitting at 2-2 and going to find it very difficult to find a win the rest of the way. Maryland is a top 40 SP Plus team. They are exactly 40th. Penn State, obviously really good. Wisconsin, obviously really good. You get into the typical stretch of games in the Big Ten East where it's like you play Penn State, you play Wisconsin. Illinois will be a little bit easier, but they're still coming in at 44th. They were obviously really good last season. You get Michigan State and then Purdue. And I even skipped over Maryland and Michigan. I scrolled too much. They opened Maryland, Michigan, Rutgers. I don't know where I scrolled down, but Michigan, obviously a top five, top 10 team next season. Rutgers is the only other place that you could see IU picking up a win. They are a tick below the Hoosiers in SP Plus right now, and that'll be at home. So even if you assume they beat Indiana, Akron, and Rutgers, that's only three wins. Where's the fourth win coming? Unclear. There are coaching changes at a couple places. Obviously, Louisville and Purdue both had coaching changes because Jeff Brohm went from Purdue to Louisville. So that kind of factors into things. Playing Purdue at the end of the season, I'm not sure how much a coaching change really matters at that point. That game's, I was going to say, is always close, but it hasn't always been. It wasn't last year. I just don't really know right now where you see that fourth win coming unless one of these teams that is expected to be good isn't. I don't know. It's going to be an uphill climb in the Big Ten, as it always is this season. If you guys want to hear me talk more specifics about IU football, I was on Locked On Big Ten and talked about the quarterback battle. Tom Allen, my thoughts on him, we'll certainly dive into that. And kind of an area of focus for this season, you guys can probably predict what the area of focus is going to be on the field for the Hoosiers. What needs to improve on this IU team? I'm sure anybody that watched IU last season can fill in the blank on that one. So we'll talk IU football as we get more into the summer, but that was a bit of a precursor to let you know that it's not going to be a particularly fun or pretty year, I don't imagine. It could be fun. Taven Jackson, Jalen Lucas, Donovan McCauley, Cam Camper, guys like that could be fun, but I don't know. We'll see because it is it's going to be another long season, I imagine. So big thanks to you guys for making us your first listen every day. think we had some video trouble early on in the podcast. I appreciate you guys for sticking it out in this one. Everydayers next week, we'll talk IU baseball, Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament, and see where they stand, what their chances are next week. We'll do all that. Be sure you guys are tuning in. Follow us on Twitter if you haven't already. Subscribe to the podcast. All that amazing stuff. You guys are incredible, as always. We're having one of our biggest weeks ever this week of all weeks, which boggles my mind. There was nothing going on this week. So the fact you guys are tuning in, listening, cannot thank you enough. You guys have been amazing. I appreciate all of the support you have given us. So we'll be back next week. Until then, I hope everybody has a terrific weekend. Most importantly, LEO.